وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead Him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for Him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scattered from them to many men and women. And fear Allah whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. The finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the fire. Continuing with the book, Al-Adillatu al-Lamma'a ala wujubi salatul jama'a. Al-Adillatu al-Lamma'a, that salat in jama'a is compulsory or wajib. The Shaykh, he has a chapter that I really kind of wanted to leave out, called Min al-Nadhr al-Salim, showing that even if you look at it, with your own opinion, you'll find that making salat in jama'a is compulsory. And I don't usually like these chapters, so I'll let that go, inshallah ta'ala. But we'll just bring the three basic headings that the Shaykh brings even under this. He says, from the verdicts pertaining to the fiqh of this deen is that it's compulsory to make the adhan and the iqamah. And then he showed, if it's compulsory to make the adhan and the iqamah, how are you going to see that it's not compulsory to make the salat in jama'ah, as if somebody would be making the adhan and the iqamah for no reason? And the Shaykh explains. One of the other things the Shaykh, he says, is he says, for the issue of the issue of making the muezzin saying make the salat in your houses when the weather is bad only shows that when the weather is okay that it's compulsory to make salat in jama'ah, or as the issue of combining the salat. And then he brings his last point, even on the battlefield that we had mentioned before, for the salatul khawf, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the believers to make salat in jama'ah. Then the Shaykh, he brings the chapter, some of the statements of the ulama around salat in jama'ah. And he starts with Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, who says, Bab wujubi salat al-jama'ah. Chapter, salat in jama'ah is compulsory. And then he brings the statement of al-Hafiz ibn Hajr, explaining this statement of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And this is for the people who don't think that the people of hadith have verdicts pertaining to al-Islam. As Imam al-Bukhari, yes, he has a book of hadith, but here we see, he says, chapter, salah in jama'ah is compulsory. And this is the verdict of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimullah. And of course, he brings the sahih hadith underneath this chapter to show that it's compulsory to make salah in jama'ah. Imam Ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah, he has a chapter called Chapter the Commandment for the Blind People to Make Salah in Jama'ah, even if the masjid is far away from their homes and they don't have anyone to guide them to the masjid. And the proof chapter, the proof that making salah in jama'ah is a fariḍah and not a virtuous deed by itself. As a person would say, it's not permissible for a man to leave off a virtuous deed, but they say it's not permissible for a man to leave off the salah in jama'ah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And then he brings some longer statements of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim. And then he comes to the chapter that we really wanted to cover, Bab A'adhar, Min A'adhar al-Takhallufi an al-Jama'at, chapter, the excuses for not making salah in jama'ah. And the Shaykh, he says, the first excuse is for rain or when it's muddy, or when it's very cold outside, or bad weather in general. And he brings the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn al-Harith ibn Ammi Muhammad ibn Sirin. Qala khatabana ibn Abbas fi yawmi dhi ragzin radghin. Falamma balagha al-mu'adhin hayya ala al-salah, fa'amrahu an yunadi al-salatu fi al-rihal. Wa fi riwaya qala ibn Abbas li mu'adhinihi fi yawmi mutir, إذا قلت أشهد أن محمد رسول الله فلا تقل حي على الصلاة قل صلوا في بيوتكم. فنظر القوم بعضهم إلى بعض كأنهم أنكروا، فقال كأنكم أنكرتم هذا، فعل هذا من هو خير منه. وفي رواية مني، يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإنها وفي رواية إن الجمعة عزمة وإني كرهت أن أحرجكم، وفي رواية كرهت أن أؤثمكم فتجيئون تدوسون الطين، وفي رواية فتمشون في الطين والدحم إلى ركبكم. On the authority of Abdullah ibn al-Harith ibn Ammi Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma gave us a khutbah on a day where it was muddy outside. So when the muadhin got to the words hayya ala salah, he commanded him to say as-salatu fi rihal, meaning make salah in your places of residence. And in one of the narrations, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he said to his muadhin on a day that was rainy, he said, when you say Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, this is the muadhin, he said, don't say Hayya ala salah, say Sallu fi buyutikum, meaning make salah in your houses. So the people started looking at each other like they were against the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And he said, it is as if you deny this statement that I'm making. Someone that was better than me made this statement, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, this salah, and in one of the narrations, indeed the Jumu'ah is compulsory, and I hate to burden the people. Or in one of the narrations, I hate to make you sinners or messed up or something like that to come to the salah and mud is all over yourselves. And in one of the narrations, while you're walking through the mud and it's all the way up to your knees or something like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But here the Shaykh is beginning to show some of the proof to show that if the weather is bad, then it's not compulsory to make salah in jama'ah, and that a person is excused from making the salah in jama'ah Islamically if the weather is bad. The next narration collected by Ibn Majah, and it's authentic, on the authority of Abu al-Malih, قال خرجت في ليلة مطيرة فلما رجعت استفتحت فقال أبي من هذا؟ قال أبو المليح. قال لقد رأيتنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الحديبية وأصابتنا سماء لم تبل أسافل نعالنا فنادى منادي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا في رحالكم. Abu al-Muliyah, he said, I went out one night when it was raining, and when I came back, I was trying to enter into the house, and my father said, who is it? I said, Abu al-Muliyah. And here, this is just some of a side point, but a verdict of Islam, that when someone wants to enter upon somebody, he has to seek permission of that person. And when he's asked who it is, then he gives his name, and he doesn't say, me. As in one of the narrations, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ana, Ana, when somebody was knocking on the door of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, and the Prophet asked, who was it? He said, me. The Prophet said, me, me? Meaning, make it clear who you are exactly. Then his father said, who was amongst the companions, he said, I saw us on the day of Yawmul Hudaybiyah with the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, and there was just a slight drizzle that it didn't even come up to the bottom of our shoes. And the muadhin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make salah in your places of residence. On the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qala, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yunadi munadi fi laylatil mutira aw laylatil barida dhat ar-rih. صلوا في رحالكم. And this is authentically collected by Ibn Majah, where Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call his muadhin on a rainy night or a very cold night that was windy, make salah in your houses. And on the authority of Na'im al-Naham قال نودي بالصبح في يوم بارد وأنا في وطر امرأتي فقلت ليت المنادي قال من قاعد فلا حرج عليه فنادى منادي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في آخر أذانه ومن قاعد فلا حرج عليه. And this has been authentically collected in Al-Majmu al-Zawa'id by Al-Haythami, and he brings it to the other places where this hadith was collected, where Na'im al-Naham, he says, the adhan was being made for Fajr on a cold day, and I was with my wife taking care of business. So I said, if only the muadhin will say that whoever remains behind, there's nothing against him. And then I heard the muadhin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end of his adhan saying, whoever remains behind, then there's nothing against him. And this only shows, as the Shaykh was using it, to show as it begins, that the adhan was called on a cold morning. And the muadhin said on that cold morning that whoever remains behind, it's okay, to show that it's okay because of the bad weather to remain behind for the Jama'ah. Oh, I mentioned before, and it seems like this could also be extracted from this narration, that the man said he was taking care of business with his wife, and he was hoping that the muadhin said that whoever remains behind, remains behind. And we hope that that's one of the reasons, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وعن جابر قال خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر فمطرنا فقال ليصلي من شاء منكم في رحله. Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, we went out with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a journey, and it rained. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever wants to make salat in his place of residence can. And this only shows that on those days where the weather is bad, that if someone wanted to make salat in jama'ah, he could make salat in jama'ah because of, even though the weather is bad, but that it's permissible for him to leave it off when the weather is bad. And not that we understand these hadith that when the weather is bad, that means don't make salat in jama'ah. When the weather is bad, it's not taken from this hadith that it means don't make salat in jama'ah. But what's meant is, it's permissible to leave off the salat in jama'ah, and you're relieved of that obligation, if you like, or you have permission to be relieved of that obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He quotes Imam At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, saying the people of knowledge have given permission for the people to remain behind or not to make the Salatul Jama'ah or Jumu'ah because of rain or bad weather, or if it's muddy outside. And Imam Ahmed, he says this in Ishaq, just showing from some of the ulama who say that it's permissible to remain behind. And he quotes Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, saying that Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdurrahman ibn Samara, and the company of other Sahaba used to leave off the Jumu'ah because it was muddy outside. And they used to command the Mu'adhin to say, make Salat in your places of residence. And we don't know any opposition from any of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Imam al-Baghawi rahimullah, he says that a group of the people of knowledge say that it's okay to remain behind from the Salat in Jama'ah if it's raining or if it's muddy outside. And every excuse that will give you the license to remain behind from the Salat in Jama'ah, it will give you the permission to remain behind from the Jumu'ah also. And we remember the day it had looked strange here in our masjid when the Muezzin on Jumu'ah, it was one day it was snowing real bad. I think that was last year. And the Muezzin made that and everybody was looking, and we had explained that this had took place during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, that in bad weather, not only the Salat in Jama'ah, but also Al-Jumu'ah. And also we see a slight connection that just as Jumu'ah is compulsory to be performed in Jama'ah, so is the other five Salat to be performed in Jama'ah. The next reason the Shaykh brings is because of fear. And he brings the statement of Allah Ta'ala, "La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha," and other proofs like that. Allah doesn't burden a soul beyond its capability, and show that if a person is in fear, that he doesn't have to make Salat in Jama'ah. Also, the Shaykh, he shows that being sick is an excuse for making Salat in Jama'ah, as he brings the hadith of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, qala maridan مرض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاشتد مرضه فقال مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس قالت عائشة إنه رجل رقيق فإذا قام مقامك لم يستطع أن يصلي بالناس قال مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس فعادت فقال مري أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس فإن كنا صواحب يوسف فأتاه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتاه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى بالناس في حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه, he says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم got sick and got extremely sick. So he said, command Abu Bakr to lead the people in salat. So Aisha رضي الله عنه said, Abu Bakr is soft, and if he stands in the place, in your place, Ya Rasulullah, he won't be able to make the Salat. Meaning because he'll be crying and he won't be able to lead the people in the Salat. So the Prophet ﷺ said, command Abu Bakr to lead the people in Salat. So Aisha continued to say, but Abu Bakr is soft and he won't be able to lead the people in the Salat. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said to Aisha, command Abu Bakr to lead the people in Salat. And indeed you women are like the women of Yusuf. Meaning those women who plotted against Yusuf. And then he came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, and then he led the people. Then Abu Bakr came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he led the people in salat during the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh is using this incident just to show that you are relieved from the jama'ah if you are sick, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't make salat in jama'ah because he was sick, and he commanded Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to lead the people in salat. And this hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari in Muslim. And the next hadith also collected by Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sami'a nida' farighan sahihan falam yajib fala salata lahu. And this is collected by Al-Munziri and Al-Targhib wa Tarheeb, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever hears the adhan and he's in good health and free and not busy or tied up, and he doesn't answer the adhan, then he has no salah for himself. The next hadith, we have mentioned that hadith before anyway, so we'll let it go and come to the part where the Shaykh, he says, Ibn Hazm, he says that there's no difference of an opinion amongst the ulama that leaving off the jama'ah because of fear or sickness is permissible, or that the sickness and fear are excuses to leave off the salah in jama'ah, and there's no difference of an opinion amongst the ulama. And also Ibn al-Mundhir, amongst the ulama who wrote books on the difference of opinion of the scholars, they said that there's no difference of an opinion from the people of knowledge, as far as I know, concerning the sick person leaving off salat in jama'ah because of his sickness. And the Shaykh, he says, one of the other excuses is when food is present. Of course, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qal, idha wudi' al-asha wa uqimatu salat, وفي رواية إذا أقيمت الصلاة وحضر العشاء فابدأوا بالعشاء. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when dinner is served and the salat and the iqamah for the salat is made, and in another narration, when the iqamah of salat is made and the dinner is served, then begin with dinner first. And then there's other narrations in Bukhari and Muslim that say the exact same thing. So the narration of Imam Muslim comes to make this point clear. Some of the people think that this is only for dinner, but in the narration of Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, also in the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, لا صلاة بحضرة الطعام ولا هو يدافعه الأخبثان. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there is no salat when the food is served, or when a person is fighting back going to the bathroom. Going to the bathroom, relieving himself. وقال أبو الدرداء من فقه المرء إقباله على حاجته حتى يقبل على صلاته وقلبه فارغ. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari with the Mu'allaq chain, and it's been connected by Ibn al-Mubarak in his book Az-Zuhd. وأبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه, he said that from the fiqh of a person is that he takes care of the business he has to take care of, so that when he comes to the salat, his heart is free from being busy with anything except the salat. Also, the next point that excuses a person from making salat in jama'ah, if he has to relieve himself, from the hadith that we had just quoted, and also from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Arqam, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إذا أراد أحدكم الغائط وأقيمة الصلاة فليبدأ به. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith authentically collected by Ibn Majah that if someone has to do number two and the iqamah is made for the salah, then let him begin with using the bathroom first. And one of the narrations of Abu Umama, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam نهى أن يصلي الرجل وهو حاقن, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited a man from making the salat when he has to urinate. And then the Shaykh, he brings quite a few narrations, all of them making the same statement, that a person is relieved from the jama'ah when he has to relieve himself. And then the Shaykh, he says, if you eat garlic or onions or kurra, I forgot what they call it again. Scallions or leeks. نعم. عن جابر ابن عبد الله أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أكل ثوما وبصلا فليعتزلنا أو قال فليعتزل مسجدنا وليقعد في بيته وفي رواية فلا يغشانا في مساجدنا قلت ما يعني به قال ما أراه يعني إلا نيئه وفي رواية إلا نتنه. On the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever eats garlic or onions, then stay away from us. Or in one of the narrations, or he says, stay away from our masjid and let him stay in his house. And in one of the narrations, don't let him come to our masjids. So I said, what was meant by this? He says, I don't see it meaning anything except fresh, eating it fresh, or in one of the narrations, because of its smell. On the authority of Abdul Aziz, قال سألت سأل رجل أنسا ما سمعت نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الثوم. قال النبي فقال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أكل من هذه الشجرة فلا يقربن وفي رواية فلا يقربن مسجدنا ولا يصلين معنا. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the other hadith was also collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Here Abdul Aziz, he said that a man asked Anas, what did you hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying about the thum, about garlic? And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever eats from this tree, then don't come near us. And in one of the narrations, don't come near our masjid and don't make salat with us. The next narration, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال من أكل من هذه البقلة الثوم وقال مرة من أكل البصل والثوم والقراث فلا يقربن مسجدنا فإن الملائكة تتأذى مما يتأذى منه بنو آدم. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where Jabir narrates on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever eats from this plant, garlic, or one of the narrations, whoever eats onion or garlic or scallions, then don't let him come near our masjid, because the angels are affected or harmed by that which the children of Adam are harmed by. And then the Shaykh, he brings other hadith to show that eating onions and garlic and thum excuses a person from making the salat in jama'ah. Also, and the Shaykh brings this as the last reason for making, as an excuse for making the salat in jama'ah, he says if the imam, his recitation is too long, that it burdens the people behind him. And he brings the hadith of Abu Mas'ud, أن رجلا قال والله يا رسول الله إني لأتأخر عن صلاة الغداء من أجل فلان مما يطيل بنا فيها فما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قط في موعظة أشد غضبا منه يومئذ. ثم قال يا رسول الله ثم قال يا أيها الناس إن منكم منفرين فأيكم ما صلى بالناس فليتجوز فإن فيهم الضعيف وفي رواية المريض والكبير وذا الحاجة. And this narration is collected by Bukhari and Muslim, where Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says that a man said, I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, that I come late to Salatul Ghada, and I forgot what Salatul Ghada is. Anybody remember what Salatul Ghada? I'm come late to Salatul Ghada because so and so leaves the Salat so long. And the Messenger of, and then he said, Abu Mas'ud said, I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so angry in one of his pieces of advice as I saw him on that day. He said, O people, indeed you chase the people away. Whoever amongst you leaves the people in Salat, then let it be short. Because indeed he has the weak, and one of the narration, the sick, and the old, and the people who have business to take care of. And also we see in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, also collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, I'll just bring the translation, inshallah. Jabir says that Mu'adh used to make salat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he used to come to his people and lead them in salat. So one night he made salat al-Isha with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he came to his people and he led them in the salat, and he began reading from Surah Al-Baqarah. So one of the men left the salat by giving the salams, and then he went to make the salat by himself, and then he left. So somebody said to him, "Are you a munafiq, so and so?" He said, "No, I swear by Allah, I'm not a munafiq." And then they said, "We'll bring this to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and inform him of this." And when they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, indeed we are people who work hard with our camels in the daytime. And Mu'adh, he makes Salat al-Isha with you, and then he comes to us and begins reciting Surah Al-Baqarah." And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to Mu'adh and said, "Ya Mu'adh, afattanun anta, iqra' bikadha waqra' bikadha." Where the Prophet ﷺ says, "Mu'adh, are you a fitna maker? Read surah such and such and surah such and such." And Sufyan, he says, that I said to Amran that indeed Abu Zubair narrated on the authority of Jabir that he said, "Read surah wa-shamsi wa-duhaha wa-duha and wa-layli idha yaghsha wa-sabbih ismi rabbika al-a'la," and surahs like that. And the Shaykh says that he's bringing these hadith to show that if the Imam recites too long in his recitation, then the people are excused from making the Salah in Jama'ah. And this is what we wanted to present from this book, Al-Adillatul Lamma'ah, that Salah is compulsory in Jama'ah. And we're leaving off the last chapter where the Shaykh just reminds the people that it's not from Islam to establish the second jama'ah in the masjid where they have a resident imam. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad walhamdulillah. I don't know if there were any last final points around this issue of salat and jama'ah.
I had a question speaking about the jama'ah. Were you saying that they would not have the salat, or they would have a khutbah and then have people pray at home?
Yeah. On the Salatul Jumu'ah, meaning you don't have to come to the masjid for Jumu'ah if the weather is bad at all. You don't have to come for the khutbah or the salat. No. Allah barak fi. Yes. Yeah. I described it before to the brothers. It looks like a real long piece of grass, and it smells like an onion. Looks like a long piece of grass, and it smells like an onion.
The yellow onion leaf is
a scallion. Say that again? The onion leaf is a scallion?
Yes. The yellow onion.
They sell that here in the States. Why don't somebody just bring it to the masjid and then we can just show the people this is it?
You had another onion for
salad.
Salad, yes.
Alright, why don't the people just bring some of it in so that everybody can see it, and we'll just show them that this is it. I know what it looks like because they used to eat it there in Arabia and they sell it a lot. So why don't somebody just bring it in, inshallah. A scallion is a little onion. And not the leaf?
Yeah, it's not done.
Like maybe like a couple weeks.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, the onion is leave it out.
Okay, but it's that long grass.
What
the Prophet ﷺ is referring to is a long, it's like a long piece of grass, and it smells just like an onion.
That thing. Whatever you call it, that's what the Prophet said. If you eat it, you can't come in. And let's do it like this to just make it easy. Just let everybody bring it in so that you can know. Because whatever you call it, that thing is the thing that you eat it, and it smells like an onion, that you should stay away from our masjid, and you are relieved from making the salat in Jama'ah. Somebody asked, is that eating it raw? Yes. Or when it still has the smell to it, if it's cooked. If the smell goes away, then the verdict goes away. Nah. Yes.
The thing that the verdict of when the man was excited, he was excited wrong. For instance, if you was in the congregation, and so he excited when the thing was wrong that guy. He excited the second one, and so he was burdened, and you leave, and you don't go off just a lot of congregation. Do you have to do the whole salat over, or just to that guy that you did?
When you leave, do you have to do the whole salat over, or the rakat you miss? You have to do the whole salat. Nah, Allah knows best. Yes. The Prophet prohibited coming to the salat when you have to relieve yourself. No, the salah got too long. I mean, hopefully nobody. That's why I put a lot of it.
About, like I said, you're at work and you don't realize that the time that went by and there's only time for the salah to go out.
No, that's okay. Don't. The issue is when you got to go to the bathroom, you got to go to the bathroom before the salah. All that other stuff is. But you still got to go to the bathroom first. Whatever you bring, whatever excuse you bring, we're going to still say the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us from making the salat when we have to relieve ourselves. So you relieve yourself, then go to the masjid to make the salat. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying? Because on my job, I was stuck in a situation like that. I'm a firefighter.
No, but we already covered the issue on the salat and fear.
Sometimes when we come back, when we come back to the firehouse, and the salat starts to go out, and you want to make the salat before it goes down. But you also,
have to relieve yourself. Now, what do you do?
Leave yourself.
You're going to come back to the same thing. Everybody can bring his own scenario, but that ain't going to change the verdict. This is why we said it's good to learn the verdict and then apply it to everybody's individual circumstance. But the one verdict applies for everybody. Not that everybody's individual circumstance is going to change all of the verdicts of Islam. But the verdicts remain the same and everybody's situation is different, and he applies those verdicts to his situation. No. This is the statement of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that from the fiqh of a person is that he takes care of his business so that when it comes time to make salah, that his heart is free from any worry or something like that. Allah ibarak. The sheikh had, one of the shuyukh had added to this issue of leaving off the salah because of the onion, that this doesn't mean that every time you don't feel like going to salah, you hurry up and take a bite of an onion or something. Say, oops, okay, I don't have to go to the masjid now. Or that the people smoke in order not to come to the masjid. Because they say what's meant from this hadith is that if you have a bad smell, not to come to the masjid. And since I smoke, my breath smells like smoke, so I don't have to come to the salat in Jama'ah. But the ulama say that this only shows that smoking cigarettes is a double haram. It's haram because it harms you and it's haram because it smells bad. So when you come to the masjid with smoke on your breath, it's like you did a double one, because the onion and garlic, they have a lot of benefit for the people who eat them. And on top of that benefit, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ prohibited the people from coming to the masjid because of the smell. How much more so when the thing is haram in itself, and then it has a bad smell and no benefit. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Yes. نعم. The issue is the smell. نعم. The issue is the smell. The issue of eating onions and garlic and whatever. As Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he explained that if the people cook it and the smell goes away, then it's okay. So the issue is the smell. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But really, I like to get away from all of the circumstances. Nah. The Prophet said, whoever has to relieve himself, nah, relieve yourself and then make the salah. And that's always best, that we don't keep making every circumstance. Well, what about this one? What about that? What about that? Prophet ﷺ gave us the verdict. Now we take that and apply it to our circumstances.
I wanted to ask about the zikr. In the back, he said after this salat, he knew that the part of the salat was over. It's because he heard the zikr. The fact that he heard the zikr now, is that you allow to.
This statement, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, the brothers referring to this issue. Where he said he heard by the dhikr. It didn't say in the narration that dhikr was allowed, but he used to hear the dhikr. And if everybody's in the masjid, and we just heard recently that our Shaykh Bilal Phillips mentioned it, if everybody's in the masjid doing, and it's a whole group of us doing that, when somebody comes in, he can hear a shh. Everybody's making dhikr. Not that everybody says subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha. But it doesn't have to be that loud for somebody to hear something. Even if you're whispering, they can just tell that something is being heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. I didn't say that. No. Allah ybarak. What if the person itself thinks? You should stay away from the masjid. I was going to mention that. I forgot about it. Like the people who are playing sports or whatever, come in the masjid sweaty, stinking. They should take care of themselves and not come around the Muslims in the salat like that, or around the Muslims, period. As in some of the Messenger of Allah said, stay away from us. And then in narration, stay away from our masjid. So in general, the Muslim should always try to take care of himself and make sure that he smells as best as he could, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. No, it's clear from the hadith, inshallah, that the Muslim takes care of himself as best he could. No. And I think this is for us as individuals to use as benefit for ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It looks like it'll be a lot of fitna if everybody judges for the next person. Ya akhi, it looks like you would need to get out the masjid. Stay away from the believers till you take care of yourself. But that we learn this, and we teach our families that, and then the people try to practice it, because it looks like it can be a lot of trouble if everybody just goes to everybody, I don't like the way you smell. And the Prophet ﷺ told you to stay away from us smelling the way you do. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Nah. So inshallah, everything is clear from this issue. And the reason, I don't know anything about that. No, I don't know anything along those lines. I don't know if anybody knows something special about eating onions on Friday morning. Onions on Friday morning? Wallahi, I want to say something and I think it might feel it. You won't feel offended, inshallah. At any rate, the purpose of us covering this book was to show that the salat in jama'ah is compulsory in order that we hear all of the evidences, as the Shaykh was bringing quite a bit of evidence on every proof, so that we know for certainty that salat in jama'ah is compulsory, so that we can, for lack of better words, convince the Muslims of their obligation, so that if and when we move into the bigger masjid, inshallah, that there'll be more people in the ranks for the salat. And this is why we covered this in detail, so that we could inform the rest of the Muslims of their obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because really this is the foundation, Allah knows best, of the community and of the brotherhood, that they come to make the salat in jama'ah, in the masjid, and that there's no way that the Muslims are going to be together except when they come together in the masjid to make salat in jama'ah. And the bigger the masjid, the bigger the togetherness of the Muslims, and Allah knows best. Somebody else? Yes, really, the last rolls are for the people who come in last. We had mentioned this, I don't know, it seemed like before, that people were taught this example. To the issue of the importance of the front row, and they pushed it so much that they just and it just seemed rude. And we have mentioned this quite a few times before, when the people really used to do it. Now I think the people learned it, because we used to see a lot of people do it. The brothers are sitting down, somebody sees the muezzin about to call adhan, he hurry up and jump right there. So now the person who was sitting in the first row couldn't fit in there. Or like some of the people do, the first row is already packed, he just jump in and squeeze in until the person next to him feels a little tight and steps back, and he just takes the place like nothing is wrong. You ask him, Akhi, how you do this to your brother? He said, do what? Trying to get the reward of the first row. And this is just in consideration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the front rows are for the people who get here first. And this is how the people get the roles, by coming first. The first people here get the first part, and then the next people like that, and Allah knows best.
And that you always been talking about, but you never give them the knowledge before. So.
Yeah. No, a lot of the people they do now, alhamdulillah.
I don't know if you start doing now, but you have to keep talking about it. You talk about him 3 times in my face.
No.
But you still not.
Yeah. No, I felt really too
that.
That
wasn't because I was the first one now.
No. Because you know,
that's just the issue of inconsideration.
You know, not repeating.
No, listen. Before I became the imam, I almost never made salat in the first row when I used to give the class. I used to give the class. After the class, the imam had the iqama made. The brothers make me go all the way around, be here before they were here. And then when the iqama is made, nobody came. I have to get around, walk around, go to the back, and we were here before them. And the imam, he didn't feel that it was no problem or whatever. But really, if the people come first, the first people here get first right to the first rows because of being early in the salat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Nah.
We already talked about this.
for the dua of the
not between these prayers, but what you were talking about.
Yeah. I gotta just make one day. We just set that day for go over the Adhan, because once I get tired, you gotta go back and forth over it a couple of times like that to make sure that the people get it. And I get a little tired. Why don't we just choose one of the days of the week coming? Everybody can bring their book, authentic supplications. Then we can go over the du'a, inshallah, that you say after the Adhan. Alright, inshallah, Monday. Because next week we're not going to have any classes, inshallah. You were told that nothing is accepted if you say it in English? That there's no du'a accepted if you say it in English.
Well,
like it's saying in Arabic, but I say in English because I didn't learn Arabic. I was told by a brother. Alright, let's ask that brother this one question. What ayah says that? Or what hadith of the Messenger of Allah says that? And when he quotes it, we'll accept it from him, and until that time, we'll just say Jazakallah khair. No, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands English and every other language. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. No. Yeah, you might be going too far now. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he made it clear that the people for the salat, for the people who can't recite the Quran, to say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and the other dhikr that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, and the people have to learn that for the salat. Because the salat is the issue of reciting the Quran, and the Quran ain't no other language for the Quran other than the Arabic. That is the Quran, as opposed to the issue of dua and dhikr. That's not the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Yes.
Your brother told me there was no peas in that.
Yes.
I don't know how to put up that to the halal. You see, the halal.
Say it again?
I don't know where you said it's halal, it's a pea. The way I said it's halal, you kept telling me, no, there's no peas in it.
Yeah, it's a bee. It's really subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yeah. Everybody kind of say Subhanallah. But it's Subhanallah. Subhanallah. No. And you just remind me, and I had asked before that the brothers remind me at the beginning of the class that we take some small dhikr and dua and go over it to get the correct pronunciation, because some of the people don't even know how to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu properly. And I didn't understand, I didn't think that this was possible. And until I remember when somebody was about to take the shahada, and I told the brother, why don't you tell him he's your friend? Give him the shahada. And then when the brother looked at me, it was a big brother, he looked at me like he was going to break me up if I didn't give the shahada. I gave it to him, and then the brother told me on the side that my stuff might not be correct. And then one time I saw it when one of the brothers was giving somebody the shahada, he himself didn't even know how to say it properly. And all it takes is like 5 minutes or so to just go over it back and forth, whatever, and then to stay on top of it, and then to get it down. As we say, I remember when we were learning Arabic, we used to say our tongue is heavy. But everybody's tongue can pronounce the things, inshallah, if he just takes a little time. Subhanallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Everybody know that phrase to say at the end of the sitting? Everybody's supposed to learn that phrase too. I just thought that since we say it every time that everyone would get it. No. What's the